recent trends have actually been that with the economic conditions improving nationally, that a lot of programs are actually looking at restoring some of the cuts that they made during the economic downturn, and also increasing provider rates, restricting or reducing benefits less often than we saw during the Great Recession and the height of the economic downturn. At that point, during the economic downturn, states were very, very focused on cost containment within their programs, and they tended to turn to provider rates and restricting benefits. But as I said, with the economic conditions improving, our recent survey information from state Medicaid programs tends to show that more states are actually looking at program restorations as well as some benefit restorations and increases in provider rates.
I want to talk about that survey. So your organization, the Kaiser Family Foundation, conducts this annual survey of all 50 states and Washington, D.C. about trends in their Medicaid budgets. And and it looks like this year you found that a lot of states aren't just trying to rein in costs by cutting payments to doctors or hospitals, as you say. They're trying to reorganize the way they deliver healthcare so it's more focused on the individual, more coordinated. Can you give some examples of some of the initiatives underway now?
No, definitely. As you said, our most recent survey findings indicate that at least 40 states are planning some sort of expansion or implementation of a new payment or delivery system reform. Some examples include establishing what are called health homes, which are designed to better coordinate services for individuals with multiple chronic conditions, trying to better coordinate those services across behavioral health, across physical health services, long-term care, and acute care as well. We've also noted for several years that states have increasingly relied on the use of managed care within Medicaid programs. Many states have many of their beneficiaries in managed care, and they continue to increase and expand the use of managed care to new populations, such as those with higher health care needs, the elderly and disabled, for instance.
Let's talk a little bit more about managed care. As you said, that's that's becoming more of a norm for Medicaid programs, and it's where, as you say, the state enrolls Medicaid recipients in a health plan, a lot like the one you'd get through an employer, right? In Rhode Island, for example, we've got Medicaid plans managed by a group called Neighborhood Health Plan of Rhode Island. And I'm wondering, how is managed care working for people who are enrolled? Do you have a sense of that? And is it having any kind of measurable impact on containing costs?
I think that there are some concerns at times with some of the more complex populations that Medicaid programs have less experience with, making sure that those beneficiaries receive the services that they need and access, because they require generally broader services and more services than you would see in like your typical employer plan, for instance. But as I said, states have over time been increasing their use of this, and there's been more states gaining experience in this area.
So maybe it's a little bit too soon to tell the effect it's having on actually containing costs.
It's a little difficult for me to say. A lot of states continue their managed care programs and seem to be happy with them. It provides a certain level of predictability in terms of costs for states because contracts with managed care organizations are arranged on an annual basis. They pay a certain per member per month amount to these managed care plans. And so in some ways, it provides a level of predictability for Medicaid spending and for state budgets.
What are some of the other levers a state has at its disposal to control costs? Are there some that could actually improve health?
I think that's part of the goal of this push for more payment and delivery system reform efforts that are going on in states to better coordinate and deliver care across what have in the past been kind of viewed as different silos, that, you know, you go to your primary care provider and they don't necessarily know that you've also seen an orthopedist, that you've also seen been to the emergency room recently, or that you also coordinate with somebody that provides you more long-term care services and support. So better coordinating across those different kinds of providers has the potential to produce some savings for states and to provide better care at the same time.
Meaning that you could avoid some unnecessary care. For example, if you've gone to see this specialist, this doctor, some services have been duplicated.
Exactly. Yeah. That you've gotten, for instance, when you went to see the orthopedist, you got an x-ray. When you go back to the primary care physician, if that x-ray can be transferred to the primary care physician, then he doesn't need to do another x-ray, for example.
Are Medicaid programs at a turning point right now? Is this a unique moment in time for them? Could we see very different programs, you know, 5 to 10 years from now?
I do think this is an era of transformation, if you've seen some of our recent report titles, for states in terms of the changes that are underway with the ACA, as well as these delivery system changes, which have really been going on for a number of years, some of which are supported by the ACA, but are also being just driven by states trying to find better ways to deliver care at better prices and better quality.
Laura Snyder is with the Kaiser Family Foundation. Laura, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Healthcare reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant from the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation.